Does anybody want to give God all their worship on this morning? Do we recognize that He is worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give Him the glory. We're going to stay here for a moment and worship before we get to the learning, man. Hallelujah. How many want God just to be glorified in your life? Hallelujah. Let praises rise from the inside, from the inside of me. May you be alive.
Oh,
for you to lift it high, all I want is for you, for you to be the Lord, for you to be lifted high, all I want is for you. For you to be lifted high, all I want is for you. For you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. For you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high, all we want is for you. For you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high.
Hallelujah. 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 Again, for your hearing, our scripture reference is coming from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 9, and I will read that for us again quickly. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Amen. And if I had to talk from a thought this morning, it would be growing in godliness. Amen. Growing in godliness. In February 2010 in Riverton, Wyoming, officials say a magnifying glass set on a stand in a sunny room started a small blaze in a Wyoming home. UPS worker Buddy Armstrong was delivering a package to 84-year-old Thomas Guthrie's Dubois home on Tuesday when he heard an alarm inside. Armstrong, also a volunteer firefighter, called emergency workers and went inside the home along with the sheriff's deputy. Sergeant Jerry Evangelosis said they found a lot of smoke but couldn't find the source until Dubois firefighters arrived. Evangelosto says the sun was shining at just the right angle to hit a magnifying glass on a stand. The glass magnified the sunbeam, which set a nearby pile of mail on fire. Evangelosto said the fire was extinguished before it damaged the home. Sometimes we underestimate the power of God's creation. Even a meager sunbeam, when focused through a lens, can pack quite a punch. We, likewise, underestimate what growing in the knowledge of God can do and the power that we have. But I'm here to tell you, when a Christian focuses on God's word, that there is another type of power that is released that should ignite you and everybody around you on fire for the Lord. We ought to be on fire as children of God. We should never remain in the same place naturally or spiritually as we come to have a first experience or intimate knowledge of Christ as Lord and Savior. Just as a baby must grow to maturity in the natural, so too must we grow to maturity in the spiritual. Just like that little magnifying glass set that pile of fire, set that pile of mail on fire. When we have the illumination of the Spirit of God, when we have an illumination from the Word of God, when we are properly positioned in God, God shall light everything on fire that you come into connection to. But you also got to understand, in order to light something on fire, you got to be in right position and you got to learn to grow. We are able to manifest the power of God when we grow by the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. Amen. And I believe that's what this text is telling to teach us today. In this text, we see Peter addressing the importance of proper knowledge and godly conduct. As it is said, he had a growing concern with the growing presence of false teachers in the church at that time. Touch your neighbor, whether it's your stuffed animals, maybe it's just basically virtual, but touch your neighbor and say to them, there's some false teachers running around. And in the midst of this pandemic in 2020, you better believe that there are some false teachings going forward. And if you or I are not grounded in the world, we may click on the wrong broadcast, we may walk inside the wrong church, we may pick up the wrong phone call and receive some improper teaching, because everybody that's opening the Word of God is not doing it for the glory of God. Some of them are doing it for the glory of their pockets. And God told me to tell us on this morning, if we are going to grow, if we are going to be used by Him, if we are going to be vessels, we got to be grounded with His Word so that we are not shaken by false teaching. Amen. It says that Peter was intent to instruct Christians in how to defend themselves against false teachers and the deceptive lies. God help us today. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who calls us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My first point is right here. The power to grow has been given through the life of Christ. The power to grow has been given through the life of Christ. It's right here in the text. Too often, we live lackluster lives because we allow the trials and tribulations of life to blind us to the facts of our faith. Let me say that again. Too often, we live lackluster lives because we allow the trials and tribulations of life to blind us to the facts of our faith. Reality is, yes, life at best is difficult, but the fact is, Christ has given us the ability to get through everything we experience. Yes, we are experiencing a national, global hardship as people. But I came to tell somebody, whether you are going to do something individually or you are just stuck in what we're going through corporately, God has given us the power to get through what we are experiencing, and not only to get through it, but to grow through it. None of us should, after this pandemic is over, should be the same people doing the same things, going to the same places with the same connections, when we have had nothing but time but to be in God's presence. Listen, He tells us in this text, power is not only or merely given through relationship with Christ, but it says intimate knowledge of Him. It's not enough to know that Jesus died on the cross. It's not enough to hear somebody else tell you about the goodness of the Lord. It's not enough for you just to pick up the Bible here and there. The Word says, He says, grace and peace is multiplied to you and knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Meaning you have to intentionally take time to studying the Word of God and to praying to the God that we serve to have one-on-one fellowship with Him, intimate fellowship, not just when you need something, not just when you desire something, but every single day, because you understand that you can't do anything or get through anything without your Father. Understanding that I need constant communication what he's doing in order to understand where I need to be. You won't know how to grow if you don't know what you need to get rid of. Somebody say amen. You got to grow up. But how are you going to know what you need to change if you don't ask Daddy to do an evaluation of your life? Because truth be told, most of us are comfortable in the stuff that we're doing and in the ways that we are. We think we are. You know what we say, I'm all that. Well, I'm going to date myself. I don't know what they say now, but we used to say, I'm all that and back chips. Or I'm the bomb. All these other things. I'm good. But the truth of the matter is good. You're not good. The Bible says we were formed in sin and shaped in iniquity. We are sinful people. But even our good at best is still nasty in the eyesight of God. So I need to have constant communication with Daddy so he can tell me about my dirty self, so I can confess it, so he can cleanse me up, so that I can grow in what? His divine nature and by his statutes for my life. But I won't know that if I don't have an intimate fellowship with him. Amen. And then look, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Some of us keep making excuses on why we can't live godly, but the Bible says he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the truth of the matter is, you not living a godly life is a choice that you made because you are discerning what God has said and what the Spirit is doing. There is no reason any of us should be living sinful lives. Now let me preface that with saying, we are all going to sin. We sin, but the difference is you're not supposed to stay in your sin. You're supposed to daily again ask God to do an evaluation on your life so he can confront you on your sin so that you can change your sin and walk away from your sin. Not keep doing the same thing over and over and wondering why I don't have no blessings in my life, wondering why things aren't going the way I thought God said they were going to go. Isn't it because he's not ready to give you what you stand in need of? It's because you must get out of your own self long enough to grow up so that he can give you what you need. Listen, I have kids, right? And I tell my kids all the time. There are certain things I'm going to make sure you have, right? Because I love you. But there are things that you want that I'm not going to give you because I already know you're not going to take care of it. There are things that you want that I know you're not in a position to receive because you're not living in a way that you want to care enough for it. Some of the things that we've been petitioning God over and over and over for, God was like, look, it's in my hands to release it, but because you got so much filth, because you got so much dirt, because you won't change from your ways, because you won't grow up in me, I can't give it to you yet because you are not ready. We have to be ready. We have to grow. But he said, when we come into an intimate knowledge of him, there are exceeding and great promises. But watch, there are not a tangible thing. But it's the promise of an abundant life. We have allowed the world and so many different people to frame what an abundant life is. We think having more than enough money, having a nice car, having a nice ride, well, same thing, having a big house, having a lot of stuff, that is equivalent of an abundant life. No, that's equivalent of a lot of resources. An abundant life is manifested in and through you when you begin to walk in the divine nature that God has called you to. Listen, godliness produces God-likeness, meaning we are being re-imaged into the form or the image of Jesus Christ. Listen, you know, I know when I was growing up, they would say, or sing songs like, when I came to Jesus, he made me over. I looked at my hands, and my hands were new. I looked at my feet, and my feet did too. So when I became a Christian, and I gave my life to God, I was looking for the physical change in my hands. So you keep singing and saying, When you come to Jesus, your hands and your feet will renew. But what I came to understand is, it's not a physical attribute or physical change that we seek. It's the fact that I do new things with my hands, and I go new places with my feet, meaning I allow the Holy Spirit to redirect me into the new things that God has for me. I am walking in God-likeness, meaning at every turn, I am submitting myself to the power of the Holy Spirit. So the things that I want to say in my flesh, I don't. I speak what God tells me to speak. The things I want to do with my hands, I don't. I do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. The things I want to do with my feet, or the places I want to go, I don't go, but I go where God leads. Why? Because I understand that through glory and virtue, the very virtue of God has given me great and exceeding promises, the promise of his peace, the promise of his love, the promise that he would sustain me, the promise that he would never leave me, the promise that he would provide for me, the promise that he will keep, he will continue to lead me, the promise that I have new life in him. Amen. When we come to an intimate relationship with God, we recognize that we are no longer dead in trespasses, but we have been made alive. Meaning I don't have to do the dead things of my flesh and sin, but I can have a full and abundant life through the Holy Spirit that leads me to the things and the ways of God. Why? Because I want to glorify God, not by word, but by deed. Why? Because I want to glorify God, because what he did by sending his son to die on old rugged cross for my dirty, nasty sins. Why? Because I want to live a life that glorifies God, so that every time I come in contact with somebody, they see God before they see me. They recognize the God in me before they recognize anything natural about me. The power. We got power to grow because it has been given to us through the life of Christ. He died on the cross so that we can have power and access to God, so that we can obtain his virtues, so that we can obtain the things that we need in order to live a godly life, because we are not going to be able to do it on our own. I don't care how good you are, how educated you are, how many resources you have. It don't matter. You're not going to live a godly life apart from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You're not going to live a godly life without direction from God. You're not going to live a godly life, hallelujah, without being submitted to the presence and the power of God. But because of Christ, we have access to this power, and it is freely given to us. That's why no Christian ought to walk around saying, I can't do this, and I can't do that. I'm defeated because of this obstacle. I'm defeated because of this. If you know, you got power through the cross of Jesus Christ. So if you are struggling with something, go before his presence and say, Abba, Father, I need your help, because I understand I got your power, but in this moment I feel powerless, and I know that being powerless is beneath who you call me to be. Being powerless is beneath what I have access and ability to do. So God, because you already gave me the power, help me to walk in the power. And thank you, Holy Spirit, because that leads me right to my second point. The ability to grow is our personal responsibility. Yeah. The power to grow has been given through Christ. Thank you, Jesus. But the ability to grow is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. Hallelujah. We've already been freely provided the power. However, the maintenance of the characteristics are our responsibility. We gotta understand, we got access to the power, but we got to maintain our presence and operating in the power. Hallelujah. We got to understand that a lack of spiritual maturity is not an indictment against the power of God, but an indictment against us and our unwillingness to submit. Too often, when we don't see viable change in our lives or our lives of others, we are quick to charge God with not doing his part. We are quick to say God isn't working. But he already gave you access. He already gave you the wisdom. So if it's not in effect in your life, it's not an indictment of God. You don't go back to God and pray and say, God, how come you're not doing? You need to, in prayer, ask God, God, what is it that I'm not doing? Because the ability to walk in the power is a choice that you have to make. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The ability to walk. You have to make a choice to walk in the power that God has already given you. Amen. He says, look. He says, look in verses 5 and 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brother kindliness love. He says, but also for this very reason, because we are no longer partakers of the evil corruption that we were in, the lustful corruption that we were in sin, because we now have life in Christ. Not only do we seek to glorify God because of what He has allowed to happen in our lives because of Christ, but because of that, adding to that, we have to be diligent, meaning that we have to be consistent. We have to be persevering. We have to, at all costs, in all things, and at all times, make sure that we are doing our part without excuses, without grumbling, without being upset, and add to what has been given to us. And here it is. He said, add to your faith. Faith in the fact that Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross to deliver you back into a relationship with God the Father. Faith in the fact that I am now saved by His divine nature. And I'm not only saved from the penalty of my sin, but even right now I'm being saved from the power of sin. And on that great getting up morning, hallelujah, I'll be saved from the presence of sin. You do know that salvation has three working parts. It has worked, meaning it worked on the cross to save us from the penalty of sin, hallelujah. It is at work right now, delivering us from the power of sin. Listen, you have been, and we are constantly being delivered from the power of sin by the presence of the Holy Spirit each and every day. If you fail to be delivered, it's not God's fault. It's because, again, you and I are not submitting to the power of His Holy Spirit. But we thank God for, again, the trifecta work of salvation. It saved us, hallelujah, from paying a penalty that we could not pay. It's paying and saving us right now from the power of sin and victory over the enemy. And on that good getting up morning, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. But He says, while you're here, add to your faith virtue. Virtue meaning moral excellence, which is displayed to enrich the lives of others. When anything in nature properly fulfills its purpose, that fulfillment was referred to as moral excellence. A Christian is supposed to glorify God because he has God's nature in him to do so. We have the very nature of God, meaning the Holy Spirit within us, that gives us the nature. We have had, there has been a shift because of the cross of Christ. We no longer have to operate in the sin nature. It might be present, but the power of God's Holy Spirit and the divine nature of God has more power over us than the sin. So because we have His nature, we should be morally excellent, meaning the thing that we do with our life, the thing that we do with our minds, the things that we say, the ways that we act, the ways that we live, ought to manifest a divine moral excellence. When He does so, He shows excellence because we are fulfilling our purpose in life. True virtue in a Christian life is not polishing human qualities, but producing divine qualities that make us more like Jesus Christ. It's not about looking perfect, acting perfect, playing a part, living out our expectations, or living out anybody else's expectations. It's about producing what God has given us the ability, hallelujah, to produce for His glory and for watch the benefit of others. He said, add to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge is full of practical knowledge or discernment. It refers to the ability to handle life successfully. This kind of knowledge does not come automatically, but it comes from obedience to the will of God. In the Christian life, you must not separate the mind and the heart from character or knowledge. Again, in our life, we have to put into practice that which we have learned, and we have to ask Holy Spirit to give us the ability to understand in our finite mind what the infinite one has said. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's what knowledge is asking Holy Spirit to help me come to an understanding in the finite mind what I rationalize and what I understand, but not coming to that, but asking the Holy Spirit to help me understand what the infinite one really meant. Because what the world told me and what I have come to thought of does not align up with what God really said. So when I sit to read the word, when I sit to hear the word, when I sit in prayer, God, help me to understand it in the way and the confines of what your Holy Spirit has given unto me and not what my mind wants to accept. Why? Because your mind does not want to accept being corrected. Your mind does not want to accept being changed. Your mind does not want to accept that you are in this thing because you are being processed for something greater. Our mind cannot understand or conceptualize the great things that God has in store for us, because we think great things coming in store for us means I don't have to go through too much. But when you have an understanding that the infinite one has said all things work together for your good, all things, bad, ugly, nasty, hurtful, good, whatever it is, I'm going to work those things together. And our natural mind, it don't make sense that something bad is going to work out for my good. But when you let the infinite one speak into your heart, you will understand all what all things really mean. And not only understand it, but accept it. Hallelujah. So he said, add to your virtue knowledge. It's a knowledge, self-control, which means to keep oneself in self-restraint and self-discipline. It is the constant and conscious control of one's flesh, passions, and desires, rather than being controlled by them. Let me say that again. It is the constant and conscious control over one's flesh, passions, and desires, rather than being controlled by them. Proverbs 25:28 says it this way: he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls, meaning anything is allowed in and anything is allowed out. My brothers and my sisters, we have got to practice self-control, meaning the things that your flesh says, go ahead, girl, go ahead and do it. Nobody's going to know. You have to practice restraint and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Because even if nobody else finds out, my daddy is going to know. Even if nobody else finds out, the spirit that is in me will be grieved. Even if nobody else finds out, I'm going to know that I transgressed, not against a person, but against God. And I worked my relationship with daddy too much to hurt his heart. Hallelujah. You got to practice self-control, meaning no matter what people say, no matter what people do, no matter what circumstances you're going up against, you practice self-restraint, meaning you restrain yourself. Sometimes you got to rebuke yourself in your own thoughts. Amen. He said to act in self-control, perseverance. Hallelujah. And I'm almost through. Perseverance equals patience. It is the ability to endure when circumstances of life are difficult. James 1:2-8 teaches us the right way to handle problems. We must expect trials to come, because without trials, we can never learn patience. Perseverance is just not the ability to hold on, to get through something. It is the ability to be patient, to be still, to be trusting, to wait. Now, I will say this particular portion of this sermon is probably for me, because patience is a virtue that me and the Holy Spirit is still working on. Amen. And I have no problem on saying that. Why? Because we need to know that I'm not the only person struggling. sometimes there's somebody right now that's watching that feels like, I'm the only one that's dealing with this. I'm the only one that's struggling with this. And it doesn't matter your title. It doesn't matter your position in life. It doesn't matter the resources that you have. Everybody has a struggle. But I share that to help somebody understand, you're not alone. We all struggle. We all dealing with something. But the issue is, or what we all got to learn to do, is stay humble and submitted in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So he says, add to self-control, perseverance. We must, by faith, let our trials work for us, hallelujah, not against us, because we know that God is at work in our trials. I don't care what you're going through right now. I need you to know God is still at work. I know you might be struggling with that relationship with your child. God is still at work. You might be struggling with your finances in the midst of this pandemic. God is still at work. You may be facing racism on your job. God is still at work. You may be having legal problems. God is still at work. You may be having problems with your physical health. God is still at work. You may not be understanding anything that is going on. Everything seems to be going on. Hold still. Be patient. Wait on God, because God is still at work. And maybe, just maybe, you need to ask God to take your eyes off of everything that's not working and look to him for the one that is always at work. Hallelujah. Add to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, brotherly love, a sincere love, and mutual sacrifice for our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we love Christ, we have to love the brethren. We have to practice sincere love for one another and not just pretend. I can't say I love you but talk about you. I can't say I love Christ and love you but dog you out behind your back when you're not around. I can't say I love you and see you have a need and not ask God, how can I assist in meeting that need? Brotherly love is action. It's not just a thought or emotion. It's putting into practice the love you say you convey for Christ and for others. He says, you gotta do all of this. And to brotherly kindness, love, agape, you have to, again, give that unconditional love to others. But again, these are all things that we have to work on. So we can't continue to sit back and ask the Holy Spirit to simply manifest these things. We got to ask the Holy Spirit, how do I manifest these things in my life? As believers, we make the mistake too often on waiting around for God to manifest everything. And God, Peter was letting us know, God is not the one that has to manifest these things. You are. He gave you power, he gave you access, and he gave you ability. Now you do it. Why do you keep asking God, when are you going to change this, how I feel? When are you going to, God, I'm like, well, when are you going to do it? Because I gave you the power. You're waiting on me, and I'm waiting on you. You keep asking me questions, and I keep giving you the same answer. Daughter, you already got the ability, so get to work. Son, you already got access to the power, so get to work. Hallelujah. I just really believe in this season. God has allowed us to be in this place of patience, of persevering, and in a process, because the thing that we got to really get to work to do in the church, we've been pretending too long. We've been having service after service. Ain't been no power. Ain't been no move. Ain't been no healing. Ain't been no deliverance. And we asking God, why are you not doing this? How come this not working? And God is looking back down from heaven and saying, because you not added the things I told you to add. You added what you thought you needed. You added what you wanted to need it. And all the things that I told you to do, I'm still sitting here wondering when you're going to tap into it. Hallelujah. So, let me go. When you marry the power to grow and the ability to grow, you will manifest the fruit of growth. Hallelujah. He says in verse 8, now for these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sin. Listen. You and I may be dealing with spiritual blindness, not because we don't possess what we need, but because we refuse to grow. Because we refuse to do the work of adding the proper thing, and we are still seeing only in the natural and not seeing in the spiritual as God has ordained for us the ability to do once we become his own. Barren means inactive or useless. This barrenness is not in reference to what we receive, but what we give. Some of us are not fruitful because we are not operating in the ways of God. We are leaning and depending on our own knowledge, on our own strength, on worldly gain. And God is saying, but I need you to tap into what I gave you. How can you produce the life that I gave you, but you depend on the things of the world or the things you give in yourself? You can't do that. You have to marry his power and his ability with yours in order to get it to done. Why not being able to discern our condition or place? When you are blind, when we are blind in the spirit, we will live in constant doubt and fear. Why? Because he said, when we possess these things, we will be blind. Why? Because we will forget, hallelujah, that we have been cleansed, and we won't grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just came to tell somebody on today, it's time to grow up in God. It's time to manifest the godliness that God has given you the access and the power to do. It's time for us to let go of our ways, let go of our fears, let go of our doubts, let go of our expectations, let go of our wants, and begin to do the things that God has called us to do. It is time to get to work. You have been given power and authority to add, to do the spiritual math in your own life. Stop looking at and worrying about what everybody else is doing with their stuff and their life, and pay attention to whether you are adding or subtracting the things that God has given you power to do. You can't control what anybody else does. You are not in charge of what anybody else does. You are the manager of one. That is you, yourself, and I. You are the manager of one. Let me say it again. God has given you power and access to add to your own life. And when you begin to add to your life, he will give you the ability to help someone out. But you can't help your brother or sister if you ain't doing the work on yourself. Amen. And God just wanted me to say on this morning, in this season, in this moment of time, we have been given time to get it together. We have been given time to ask Holy Spirit to do a divine evaluation of my life. God, I open my life up to you so you can divinely, on your divine scorecard, tell me what I'm doing right or what I'm doing wrong, and bring that to me through your Holy Spirit so that I can make the choice to get my life in alignment. But I want to grow in godliness. I don't want, when people see us, they see the same old people. There should never be a statement of any believer, oh, so-and-so is just like that. They've been like that all their life. But if you've been with Jesus for 20 years and you're 45 and you ain't had a change in the last 20 years, something is wrong with the connection. And it is not God, it's us. So we got to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of the fact that he chose to die on old rugged cross. In the knowledge that he chose to let them beat him all night long. In the knowledge that he chose to be hung on an old rugged cross. In the knowledge that he chose to let them scorn him and whip him. In the knowledge that he chose the nails. In the knowledge that he chose to let them put a crown of thorns in his hand. In the knowledge that he chose to die on that rugged cross, that he chose to take on our sins on the cross and allow separation between him and God momentarily so we wouldn't have separation from us and God eternally. We got to grow in the knowledge, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ died and he stayed in a buried tomb, but on Sunday morning he got up with all power. And because he got up with power, because he got up with authority, because he got up with victory, we too can get up in power. We too can grow up in power. We too can manifest the victory, and we too can glorify God. God bless you. Hallelujah. At this time, if there's anybody that may be online that may not have a relationship with the Lord, amen, we take this time to offer Jesus Christ to you. You may say, I don't have this intimate fellowship, this relationship. I want to come to know Jesus for myself. We offer to you at this time the opportunity to give your life and your heart to the Lord. Amen. If you want to join and be a part of this ministry, even virtually, we offer that to you at this time. We would love to have you be a part of the Abundant Hope Ministry family in person, whenever that may be, and even virtual, amen, as we continue to be rooted in Christ, covered in grace, and abundant in hope. Amen and amen.